Let us pray. Your Spirit is among us, Holy God, and we are grateful for that. We ask now that your Spirit will also move within us, opening our hearts to receiving the words that you have for us to hear today. May your Spirit use me as I share the message that I share today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A woman's husband had been slipping in and out of a coma for several months. Yet she had stayed by his bedside every single day. One day when he came to, he motioned to her to come a bit closer. And as she sat by him, he whispered, eyes full of tears, "You know what? You've been with me all through the bad times. When I got fired, you were there to support me. When my business failed, you were there. When I got shot, you were by my side. When we lost the house, you stayed right here. When my health started failing, you were still by my side. You know what?" "What, dear?" she gently asked, smiling as her heart began to fill with warmth. "I think you're bad luck." Well, you think this lady was actually bad luck? Luck, by definition, means to have success or failure, apparently brought by chance rather than through one's own actions. According to this definition, I wouldn't be so quick to blame her for all of his problems. When we read the story of Zacchaeus, now we might conclude there that he had a lucky day. He saw Jesus, and Jesus asked him to come down from the tree. He was going to stay with him. Now that sounds pretty lucky, doesn't it? But was it luck? Let's think about some things, the setting for this story. You see, the first thing we learn is that Jesus was passing through the city of Jericho. It doesn't say he was planning to come and camp out. He was passing through Jericho, and he was heading towards Jerusalem, where, as he told his disciples just a few moments ago, he was going to be killed. Just outside of Jericho, then, Jesus healed a blind beggar. If the crowd around Jesus at that moment had their way, that never would have happened. That never would have happened. This blind beggar did not deserve Jesus' attention as far as they were concerned. And when the blind man worked his way through the crowd, he began shouting to Jesus. And Jesus heard him, even though the crowd tried to shush him. But he persisted. And Jesus heard him and asked what the beggar wanted. And the beggar said he wanted to be healed. And Jesus healed him. So typical of Jesus, isn't it? And those in the crowd saw Jesus heal the blind beggar and began praising God. That happened right before Jesus entered Jericho. And the word was buzzing all around about what Jesus had done to this beggar. So a crowd of people swarmed around Jesus, and the crowd grew as he was making his way through Jericho. Zacchaeus was among the crowd. He obviously too knew something about Jesus. We don't know exactly what he knew. It doesn't tell us in the word what he knew. Perhaps he had heard all about the healing, or perhaps he knew more of Jesus' story. All we know is that he wanted to see Jesus. Now, we also learned at the beginning of the story that Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was rich. As I mentioned last week in the sermon that I preached about a tax collector, men in that profession were not at all popular. They were Jews by birth who chose to work for Rome and were therefore considered traitors. Zacchaeus had another strike against him in that he was more than just the everyday tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. And we know that because the Greek words hapax logomenon are used to describe Zacchaeus' job, and they're not existing anywhere else in the Greek literature. And so the meaning, yes, the meaning is unclear, but it makes a point that this is something special. This is something bigger. And so scholars think it may refer to someone who bought the local taxation rights from the Roman government. So it's possible that he may have had a contract with the government, and he hired other tax collectors to work under him, probably making him richer than any of the other regular tax collectors. I guess you could say that as much as the other tax collectors were hated, Zacchaeus was hated even more. Well, that was one strike Zacchaeus had against him. Another problem that he had was that, well, he was a wee little man. He was short. But even so, he braved coming out to gather with the crowd to see Jesus. I say he braved coming out because there were plenty of people in that crowd who were ready and willing to spit on him or to kick him or to even trip him, anything to make him look like a fool, to make his life miserable, because they were angry with him. And no one was ready to allow him to move to the front to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus, my friends, was determined. He was determined to see Jesus. And as the story goes, he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed up a tree. Most likely it was a fig mulberry tree, because sycamore trees really weren't in that area. These trees had short trunks, and its wide lateral branches made it easy to climb the tree. But can you imagine the humiliation of having to climb a tree because no one would let Zacchaeus through the crowd just to see Jesus? He had to climb a tree. How humiliating that must have been for him. Yet Zacchaeus was not to be denied. Then as Jesus approached, he looked up. And he said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Simple, right? But really, isn't the first obvious question here, how did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? And secondly, why did Jesus say he must stay at Zacchaeus' house? And he must do it today. Wasn't Jesus just passing through Jericho? Isn't that what the scripture said in the beginning? He was just passing through. It doesn't tell us he was going to stop and stay with somebody, but he was there. He said he must be with Zacchaeus today. Once again, if we turn back to that original Greek text, we find the words that are translated into must and today actually carry with them a richer meaning of divine urgency. The same kind of divine urgency that Jesus felt when his parents found him in the temple with the others when he was 12 years old, and he told them that he must be in his father's house. So even though we think Zacchaeus was lucky to have Jesus call upon him, and in fact, really, if you look at the message interpretation of the Bible, it actually says there, Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck. This encounter was anything but luck. This was a God moment. This was a God moment. Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus, and Jesus wanted to see Zacchaeus. It didn't matter to Jesus what the crowd thought of Zacchaeus. In true Jesus fashion, of course, he loved even those who were despised by society. My friends, every day we have opportunities to see Jesus. Maybe not in the same way that Zacchaeus saw him, but we see him as his spirit moves around with and within us. Do we look for Jesus? Maybe the odds aren't always with us because obstacles get in our way sometimes. It's hard sometimes to see past our worries. Time becomes a hindrance because we get too busy. And like the crowd around Zacchaeus, these kinds of things become obstacles that can keep us from seeing Jesus. Do we have that same determination as Zacchaeus to look for Jesus? Are we looking for the right thing when we look for Jesus in our lives? Or are we looking for something big to happen? Jesus always does big stuff, right? Everything that we, anytime we see Jesus, it's because something big happened. No, not necessarily. We learn from Zacchaeus' story that he wasn't even looking for anything special to happen, but just look what happened. I think sometimes we think if it's not big, if something big doesn't happen, it just can't, Jesus can't be around. It's not Jesus. Or is it possible that we don't look for Jesus because we're afraid what he might ask us to do? I've been in those shoes. I remember the day I received a phone call from the district executive of this district inviting me to interview for a position for Minister of Christian Nurture at Westminster. It was the day after I buried my sister-in-law who died of breast cancer, and I said no. I didn't want to leave Lancaster County anyhow. Besides, the timing was just all wrong. I didn't want to see Jesus in that call. They asked me to think about it and to pray about it. So Don and I did pray about it, and we talked about it and decided, well, you know, if we want to discern God's will, we really do need to go and be a part of this interview. We needed to be there. What could it hurt anyhow? We always had the option to say we're not interested. So we went to the interview, fully expecting to decline. But we saw God in the room that night. Our drive home to Lititz was the longest and quietest drive we have ever had. We knew we were being called by God to move to Westminster. And we went. Many times over, that call was confirmed as I served there. My friends, yes, sometimes when we see Jesus, he does have something in mind for us to do. But let me caution you, that's not always the case. I really do think that sometimes we don't want to see Jesus because we're afraid that what he might expect us to do, which is unfortunate, and then we miss that something else that Jesus has for us. Sometimes he simply wants to love us. He just wants to love us. Jesus really didn't ask anything of Zacchaeus except to take him home. He didn't even tell Zacchaeus that he needed to repent, which is exactly what we might expect Jesus to do, since Zacchaeus was a tax collector and robbed from people, probably. Oftentimes, this story is actually preached as a conversion lesson, when in fact, Bible translations don't present it that way. If you read verse 8, In different translations, you will some of them translating Zacchaeus' words about making financial amends above and beyond what was necessary with those he took advantage of in the future tense. That was the case in the scripture that Justine read for us today from the New Revised Standard Version. But if you turn to read that scripture in the Revised Standard Version, it's in the present tense, as it is in other scriptures, translations. So I dug out my good old Greek Bible, which puts Zacchaeus' words also in the present tense. So when Jesus went home with Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus had already changed his ways, and Jesus placed a blessing on him for having made this change and for the good he was already doing. Now, understood in this light, as more than a simple story of salvation, this story embodies the promise that anyone who desires to see Jesus will see Jesus. And more than that, anyone who desires to see Jesus will in turn be seen by Jesus and in this way have their joy made complete. So once again, we come to that part. In these early days of your congregation's journey through transition, when I ask you to think about this text in respect to your personal life, and I also encourage you to think about it in respect to your corporate life as the body of Christ, I hope you're looking for Jesus and actually seeing him. I know that we are being seen by Jesus. And I believe that at this point in time, he is pouring out his love on you to heal your wounds and to restore your hearts to see him alive among you. And that, my friends, is exactly what we need right now. I know I'm interested and curious about what the future holds. I'm really interested to find out what your goals are. But right now, we just need to be with Jesus, to see him, to be seen by him, and the rest will come. Jesus is offering a blessing over you for your service that you've already done. Do you feel it? And Jesus is offering a blessing over for you for the work and the play that you will do as you continue to follow him. Even though you don't know what it is, he's already saying, thank you. You are blessed. Seeing Jesus, my friends, is never a matter of luck. Jesus sees us, even calls us by name. Do you want to see him? In spite of all that has happened to put you in this time of transition, are you determined to not let it become the obstacle that keeps you from seeing Jesus? Are you determined to not let the anxiety of moving a new direction keep you from seeing Jesus? My friends, may we all be just as determined as little Zacchaeus was to see Jesus. Amen.